When I first started driving I-96 in Oakland County, taking my daughter to Michigan State University, I glanced up one day somewhere around the Milford Road exit, and there at the top of the hill, my eye landed upon the figure of an orange man. He's broad-shouldered, and he wears a 50s-style fedora. At first, the figure felt a little ominous, maybe even a little bit creepy. But as I drove back and forth to East Lansing through the years, I'd find myself looking for Orange Man, kind of glad to see him surveying Lyon Township. Now Orange Man is popping up on rooftops around the city of Detroit. It's the Man in the City Urban Exhibition. With us now is artist John Sauvé. John, I first spotted I-96's Orange Man in 2011. When exactly did he start presiding over that stretch of I-96?
Well, the I-96 project is in the Lyon Township Park, which is up on the hill. And that was about 10 years in the making. We had a couple different transformations. And then finally, after 10 years, it's like, hey, get this in this week. You know, it's always hurry up and wait type of thing. And when we finally did put the piece up on the hill, oh, it's been amazing to hear the feedback from different people. And that's what I get out of it, is to hear people's impressions of things.
Now, am I alone that at first it kind of seemed a little menacing? He's just this silhouette looking down. Do other people have that reaction, or do their kids? Because my daughter was going, he's creepy.
Well, I do have to admit, within the first week, there was a call to Lyon Township, and a woman said that her son couldn't sleep at night because of the man on the hill, and that he thought it was Freddy Krueger up on the hill. So my question is, why is your 11-year-old son watching Freddy Krueger?
There you go.
Yeah. So.
Good end zone run with that. Why an orange man? And why the retro suit and the Clark Kent style hat?
Well, it started out as a series of silk screens that I was doing. And there was a number of different images. But the man with the hat, he started out as actually a shadow for these images. But he became the image that would resonate with people the most, and with myself. It just kept coming up and coming up. As I was transforming this from prints into three-dimensional steel forms, it just kind of took hold. And, you know, I try to get things simpler. And in its most simplest form, it became just the one man, just the one image.
And I know now he's getting perched on a number of rooftops in Midtown and downtown Detroit, the Man in the City Urban Exhibition. What are you saying in that exhibition, John?
Well, you know, the big part of that is I started this project on the High Line in New York City. The two guys who started the High Line, Josh David was one of them, and he has since become a good friend of mine, also writing a foreword for a book on the project in Detroit that'll be due out this next year. So Josh opened up the High Line. And within the first 6 months, he let me do this public art exhibit on the High Line, along with a student group within the city of Manhattan.
And we should just say, for anyone who perhaps isn't familiar with the High Line, this is the former elevated railroad, right, that has become a wonderful park, walkable, bikeable. So it's this great space to work with in Manhattan.
Oh, great segue to it as well. I mean, I was a fan when I first heard that these guys were putting this together. I had the chance to reach out to Josh, and so we're going on 15 years now that we've known each other, and I have another mutual friend that's very close with him as well, and we've been communicating with it, and he took a risk by letting us work, especially with kids, with this project. But we had these very same men, some of them that are in Detroit, were actually on the High Line. And so working with these kids, moving these orange figures around throughout the High Line when it first opened up was a big step, and was also part of the mission for the High Line when they had come together to do community public art projects like this. But it was the first public art project on the High Line. And while we were doing that, I was working with the Hendrick Martin Institute in Manhattan. They had their arts funding cut at the time. And so we got a grant from the Mark Echo Foundation to work with the kids for a 2-week session and bringing public art to the High Line. And that opportunity that came up, one of the kids said to me, you know, these would be great up on the rooftops. And so the idea was really born out of that. And eventually it came to Detroit and someone said, hey, I have a rooftop.
Put them up there.
Yeah. And, my uncle owns a barn. My mom knows how to make costumes. Let's put on a show.
How many are up now?
There are over 60.
Okay. And it's just so cool to just have your eye go up. And I was actually in the Midtown area last weekend, and I looked up and went, oh, hi, there you are. So that's the idea. You have to discover him.
That is a big part of this. This is going on 4 years that the works have been up there. And there's been no promotion of it, in the sense that it's better when people find it on its own. And the idea also is to highlight the architecture of the city. And the buildings were chosen specifically for their relationship to me as well as relationship to the city, whether it's a nonprofit or someone I've worked with in the past or just because the building was of interest to me and interesting significantly in the history of Detroit. And that's part of the thing is, you know, you get to see it from the ground. I get to see it from the roof. And I see this as one of the influences was there was a German romantic painter named Caspar David Friedrich who used to do this lone image on a landscape. And you'd always see the image in the foreground and the landscape in the background. Uh-huh. And these ideas of having this lone figure with a landscape or, in my case, a cityscape in the background, it's just like this idea that I always think of it as choices. What is that guy thinking? I always interchange the viewer with this image in the foreground. And, you know, I go off in my own little world.
And you actually use this orange man and you're using this project, the Man in the City exhibition, to introduce children to public art.
As an offshoot, my vocation is sculpture. And to be in the field of public art, I don't wait around. When I see opportunities, I set up shows, and I'm always reaching out, trying to stay busy while I'm waiting to be discovered. Cynthia, thank you for bringing me on today. So one of the things I do is I always make sure that if I'm going to put this kind of effort and investment into a project like this, I have a lot of supporters that help, but at the same time, it's not enough. I want to make sure that I'm not just putting it up and walking away, that I engage the community. So whenever I see an opportunity to work with a group like the Boys and Girls Club or the YMCA in Detroit, or in this case, I'm doing Center for Success right now at the Packard plant, I try and set up this formula, which I've been using for about 15 years now, where kids actually get to do design to finish sculptures. And when they do that, it's not about creating little artists. It's about creating kids who think about their environment and think about the effect that they can have on their environment. And so these kids are seeing something from concept to finished product, and that's a transferable skill. In a little way, if one or two of them pick up on it and realize that they can do anything if they put their mind to it, it was all worth it.
And also making them aware of public art. And for so many people, that's something that they don't think is important. Why is it important?
I usually engage kids anywhere from 6 years old to high schoolers. Some of the most challenging questions that I get are from the teenager to high school age group. And usually it starts out the same. Why don't we take the money for this project and give it to the homeless? Or why don't we take this money and feed the poor? Why don't we do something like that? And by the end of the project, they're saying, I get it. I understand why we're doing this, because there's room for this discussion that leads to opportunities that can handle other aspects of community life. But the idea is you have to have something to start with. And in one small way, the public art for me is a way to start that dialogue.
Now, how long are the sculptures going to stay up on the rooftop? Is it indefinite, or do you have a period of time for this?
At this point, I'm still putting some up, so we haven't really launched it in my eyes, Cynthia, so I've got some time left, and we're documenting all of this work as well. Right now, we're documenting the Packard plant, which just came up this last year. The Packard plant, I never thought I'd be able to get in there, let alone be working with the group that came in and took it over, Art Express. So there's 12 of the men up on the Packard plant throughout the plant right now, and to be in there and see the history, it's just incredible.
Any plans to take Orange Man and bring him to other cities in Michigan? I know he's in Birmingham because I realize that sculpture that I've been looking at, he's not orange. He's silver.
He's stainless steel.
Yeah. Right by the parking structure that I go to all the time. And it hit me, wait. And I went and looked, and there was the name of John Sauvay. But any thoughts of going throughout Michigan?
The Man in the City project is located up north right now as well.
Whereabouts?
And so there are 35 different Man in the City sculptures from Mackinac Island all the way down to Crystal Mountain. Okay. And so all the communities along the western side of the state, you can find men on rooftops. And everything from that project is through the Cricket Tree Art Center, which services all the communities from Mackinac Island all the way down to Traverse City. And they've been very gracious to support the project and utilizing the project for arts education as well.
What do you think Orange Man is saying? What does he say to you?
That's what it's about. It's this idea of what does he say? What does he mean? And everybody comes to it with their own baggage. They all bring their own experiences to that man. So I don't like to pollute people with my ideas for it, but I will say that you're right. Everything you think is right. And that idea of that lone individual and the viewer's chance to swap himself out with that sculpture and see what that sculpture is seeing, that's what this is all about.
One of the things that speaks to me is because I'm a baby boomer, I see the style of guy that my dad was when I was little, or that men were all wearing hats until John Kennedy stopped wearing hats and hats went out of style. But in the 40s and the 50s, that's what you saw. So it is, there's a comfort level that it's hard to verbalize. In fact, I didn't realize it until we were just talking that that's one of the reasons I'm drawn to him, which leads me to ask, have you thought of taking Orange Man and putting him on T-shirts or keychains?
I was thinking of bobblehead.
Bobblehead.
Action figure. As soon as I get one of those done, Cynthia, I'm going to put it right on this desk.
I think he'd make a great T-shirt. I'd wear the T-shirt with Orange Man.
Oh, stop it. Now I have to go get one for you.
And I will. You'll find some photos with examples of John Sauvé's Orange Man and the Man in the City Urban Exhibition on the stateside page at michiganradio.org. Fun talking with you. Keep it up. Keep populating Michigan with Orange Man, John Sauvé. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cynthia.